Well, it's good to be with you all. And if we get weather, we don't get weather. I was reminded as I drove along the road that as the snow, there's a lovely verse in Isaiah, and I haven't looked it up, about snow and rain coming down from heaven. And the snow, like the word, sometimes it goes in, you sink in, you've got it. And other times it just sits there and permeates slowly into our system. And I was thinking for today, what are your takeaways from 2024? And I've already got one over there, and I'm very impressed, because I was going to say sermons, or I heard a program, it was a church service that I was on in Zoom. It comes from America, so that's a long story short, won't go there. But what they did the last Sunday is they asked people to identify their, not best sermon, but the sermon of the last 12 months that really touched their lives. And I thought, well, I can't hardly remember some of the ones I gave out, let alone the ones. You know, sometimes things really stick and sometimes they don't. And I thought, well, what would be a good exercise, wouldn't it, to sort of sit and mull over and think, well, what did God teach me last year and what changes are there? And if you didn't do it last year, there's a challenge for this year to start here in January, the whatever it is. And think to yourselves, well, each week I'm going to think, you know, what am I taking away? And hanging on to it, because so often we hang on to the bad things rather than the good things. Things that we memorize and the things that we spend time thinking about. So go on, tell us, what was it? Ponder. Talked about pondering 12 months ago, yeah. Selective intentional pondering, and it stuck with my mind as well. That was something that was really touched my heart. I shared it with you last year. Selective intentional pondering, being selective about what you think about, and that stuck with me as well. So that was something in my heart. I appreciate that someone else has remembered it also. But what we think about does make a huge difference to how we interpret things, doesn't it? You know, had your glass half full or half empty. But we gather here to draw near to God and to know that, well, last time I was here, you were talking about it might never happen. And if it does happen, God is enough. It might never happen, but if it does happen, God is still enough. And so often the things that we get anxious about and that we're fearful of, it's never the thing that happened yesterday, is it? We don't get worried and upset about fearful of what happened yesterday because it's happened. The fears and the anxieties come from what might happen tomorrow, and then it might not even happen. But we do know that when it does happen, that God is enough. So as we come through this transition Sundays, if you like, putting the old year behind us and starting out anew, to know that God is enough, and perhaps just to think in your minds as to what are your takeaways from 2024. We have a God who doesn't change, and we're going to worship him together. So I've chosen for us to start with today, Angels from the Realms of Glory, which encourages us in the chorus to come and worship, because he never changes and we can always gather to worship him. So let's do that with that song today.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we come here this day to worship you, to rejoice in our salvation, to acknowledge your greatness, to rejoice that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and there's a door that is open that we can go in. It's at Calvary's cross, that's where we began, as we came as a sinner to Jesus. And day by day, you stay by our side, and you promise to supply our every need. And as we reflect on the year past, yes, there were troubles, yes, there were lows, but through it all, you never change. And how wonderful it is to rejoice in that truth, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although we let you down so often with our thoughts and words and deeds, and yes, troubles and trials come our way and storms happen, but through it all, you are that constant force of love and light. I want to bring you our praise and our worship and our thanks this morning as we gather here in the name of Jesus. And as we look into your word again, we pray that you would touch our lives and you'd speak into our hearts and you'd encourage us as we step forwards on this journey through life into what we now call 2025. And as we gather, Lord, would you touch our lives? Would you speak and receive our worship as we gather in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a faithful God, and I'm going to read you some words now. I haven't given anyone the reference because I wanted you to just hear these words and see what you think. Because when you recall last year, I don't know what came into your minds, and won't go around the room and embarrass anybody, but I'm sure there are various things, highlights, things that you'll carry forwards with you, perhaps into the next 12 months or the next 20 years, you don't know. But there's things that stick with us. And hear these words. I am the man who's seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow cold, and he's broken my bones, and I grow old. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He's broken my teeth with gravel, trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord with it. I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Well, there you go. Smile after that one. The writer there is obviously not in a good place. So when I was reflecting on this, that's not why I ended up in this chapter of scripture. It's the next verse, and you're going to get the next verse in a minute. But we get like that, don't we? And as we memorize and we remember all of those things, it's like a spiral going that way. And the more we reflect and recall the things that go wrong, because let's be honest, we all have dark places. We've all had times, I'm sure, where we're like, God, where are you? What's going on? And here we have Jeremiah writing these words. And I want to encourage you, again, it's a bit more on pondering, because this SIP has gone through my life so much over these past years. And it's in verse 21 of this chapter, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is the this? What is it that you call to mind, therefore I have hope? And then we have some very famous verses. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. So there's a verse for you to take forwards. At the beginning, it simply says, yet this I call to mind. Or in the AV, it says, recall. What do we recall? What are the things we drag forwards? Remember, you know, my husband and I used to play a lot of bridge. And whenever I got something wrong, he'd always remind me of all of the things I'd done wrong in the last 10 years. Well, you've done that before. Haven't you learned that lesson yet? And yet, those are the things, okay, it helps us to learn. But the things to keep us going forwards, we need to know the faithfulness of God. Yes, he was the babe of Bethlehem. Yes, he is the Christ of Calvary. But he has been exalted to the heavenly places. And he has promised to be part of our lives. Yet this I call to mind. The promises he has kept. The things he has carried us through. The valleys we walked out of and didn't sit down in. That beauty, those encouraging moments, make our hearts adore him. Thought we would sing as we reflect on those thoughts. We've got three little songs coming up. 108.6 is, I think, in the books. What is the verse line? I've forgotten. Light of the world, that's right. It's all about lights. Light of the world, he stepped down into darkness. So we're praying here that he'll open our eyes, that we can see and recall the promises, not the problems, but how he helped us through those problems. So let's rejoice in this lovely, lovely song. Father, we acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge your wonder. We thank you that even through those valleys, through those dark spots, you didn't change. We thank you that you've brought us to this place. We thank you that we can be overwhelmed by your amazing love that is unending. And we're going to sing of that now, overwhelmed by love. Let's see that sea. I went to the seaside and just to see that ocean again and realize his love is greater. Let's allow that love to permeate our beings today. Father, this love, this overwhelming love, this unending love, that image of the ocean that can overwhelm us so easily. Father, so often we get overwhelmed by the world. As I was reflecting to prepare for today, I just sense we need to be overwhelmed again by your love, which is unending, which is everlasting. And all our sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All our debt is paid, and what you went through for us. And yet we can come into your presence anytime, anywhere. You are always available. And we rejoice in this truth as we continue in worship and we sing together. In your presence, we can come. In Jesus' name, amen. for always being there. Thank you, Father, for always being available. Thank you, Father, for never stopping to love us. Thank you that we can rest in your presence. Forgive us, Father, for so often we rush around and go to all sorts of places. We turn on the TV, we perhaps, all sorts of things. We all have our own escape mechanism. Yet how often do you say, come to me. Come to me and rest in my presence. Be still and know that I am God. And as we start this new year, we pray that you would reveal more of yourself to us, that each moment of each day we might be aware of your presence, drawing us to thyself, that we might know more of you. And as we consider this for ourselves, our hearts go out to friends and loved ones who have nowhere to turn. They have no saviour. They haven't connected with you. They haven't had their relationship with you restored by getting to know your Son, the Lord Jesus. We think of those who mourn and grieve, those who have no idea where they're going to turn for help and support. We have friends and loved ones who need thee in a special way at this time. And then there are the strangers that we meet. We have those people who are working in our hospitals, the care system, who are trying to help support people with health and aging issues. Father, we pray for those that reach out to care for others. But most importantly, we pray that they might be aware of you helping them and supporting and sustaining them. That they might be ready to meet thee face to face. For one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we commit ourselves, our friends and our loved ones to thee, that we all might be aware and be overwhelmed by your love, moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're at the first Sunday of the new year, so I guess, is this the challenge? Because I was here, I've been a couple of times before, haven't I? So it's Epiphany-ish, isn't it? So we can't go through this time of the year without hearing some bit of Matthew's Gospel. And I'm going to read to you now from Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. Very familiar verses. And sometimes perhaps too familiar. So we're going to think again at some of the events that happened that first Christmas time and maybe take something new as we move forwards into this new year. So hear these words. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, he did some pondering. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. How awesome is that? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Then, missing the Epiphany bit, after the wise men had gone away, verse 13 of chapter 2, the angel warned, the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Here we go again. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, He was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: he will be called a Nazarene. Well, there's a lot of getting up going on there, and so that's where we're headed shortly. But before we think about some things in that passage, we're going to sing, As With Gladness, Men of Old, and reflect on these events so long ago. Thanks. Forever, 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 as a long time is forever. So may we with willing feet ever seek thy mercy seat. Ever and ever and ever is a long, long time, isn't it? Well, what to think about today? Well, I had lots of things going through my head, as I often do, trying to fathom out some sort of direction. And I appreciate that someone remembered pondering from last year. Thank you very much. And it's something that really stuck with in my mind all through last year. And something that came to me for our Christmas service, which is not particularly what I had in mind for you today, but felt I needed to bring it with me, is something. Have you ever been at a dead end? I don't mean literally, but then again, actually the last time I came here, I got to a dead end, because someone said there'll be a sermon in that, because I went along here, it said road closed, didn't it, when I came here last time, and then there was somebody behind me, and then I thought, how do I do a three-point turn with all these parked cars, what do I do? And I got to the dead end, and I thought, well, thank goodness I can move the cone and sneak through so I could get my car through and kept going. But it was perceived to be a dead end. But I had to keep going because I couldn't go back. But I didn't quite know how I was going to keep going. And I didn't fancy reversing all the way back along here. And thankfully, I was able to get out the other end. And we couldn't get at dead ends. To me, in this story that we've read again, Joseph had a few dead ends, didn't he? You know, I mean, he was going to be married to this beautiful young girl. They were betrothed. And that was more than engagement in those days. And so, really, divorce, she would be considered an adulteress. And adulteresses could be stoned. So it was a horrible outcome, potentially, for this woman in the situation that she was in. And he loved her. Just put yourself. I sometimes think with these stories, we know the end. They didn't. They didn't know what was coming next. He was confronted with what seemed to be a dead end. And it's so difficult to sometimes see a way forward. And often what God encourages us to do, we're like, really? You want me to go, do that? But we're called to walk by faith, aren't we? We don't always know the reasons why and the things that go on. And actually coming here this morning, Keith was very kind to message me and say, did I want to do Zoom? Well, I thought, well, the cars are getting up the hill, so that bit's going to be the worst bit. So I was out of the village. But that wasn't the problem. It wasn't the snow. It wasn't the ice. It wasn't the weather. As I came out of Woodford, if you know the road at all, and you go along Mill Road and you turn left along the old A605, there was a tree across the road. I reached a dead end. But there was one car there with his lights flashing, and there were people there with chainsaws. So I thought, what do I do? Do I go back the other way? Because the other route out of Woodford is not the main salted route, and get stuck perhaps in the ice, or do I sit and wait? Well, I sat and waited, and they did clear the tree, and I moved forwards. But I thought, typical, I'm talking about dead ends this morning, and here I have a tree of all things, not the snow, something completely unexpected. So, and I also have a picture for you that is what I use at our church on Sunday, which the guys, I think, have managed to put online. And this card I found amongst some things I was rummaging through, and it says, the light shines in the darkness. And I love this phrase, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I had a crazy, I thought it was crazy, because I had this, I didn't know what it was for Christmas, and it said, you can't blow this out, there's a light in here, and it's not a candle, it's got a battery in it. Which I thought was quite significant, because sometimes lights, if you blow out a candle, it goes out so easy, don't we? We think of the light of the world. But that lovely little bottle there, it's got a light in it, and you can't blow it out. And so the word that we thought about at our church on Christmas Day, I've not got tech, you see, so we go for bits of paper, is this great big word. And a lovely word, I'm going to carry this all the way through the year. It's not particularly the word I had for you today, I've got something else to share with you, but maybe someone needs to hear this today. That you can't blow him out. You can't blow him out. And that's the new, is it NLT, is that New Living Translation of John chapter 1, where we read about the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And it says in the NIV, it's a different translation, it says how the world didn't understand it. And I just love that translation. What a word. The darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus is love. Hear this. Jesus' love and care and peace is inextinguishable. Go on, say that word. Inextinguishable. Isn't it a fantastic word? And you can link that to Jesus. You might not know what's around the corner. You might find there's a dead end. You might be struggling with this, and this. And you think, now what, God? What are you going to throw at me next? Because we all have weeks, months, years, days, whatever like that. And this word is certainly something I had a pretty crazy time over Christmas. I cocooned myself away in the end. But this word, inextinguishable, this man, Jesus Christ, who lived and died, his love for you and for me is inextinguishable. You can't blow out the darkness. No matter how much darkness comes, it will not overcome it. Let's read it. The light shines. Oh, it's gone. Can you put it back, please? Can we have that picture up with that? Okay. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So I've sent that email through to Keith. Thank you for doing the tech bit. So you can absorb that picture, as I've got that stuck on the mirror at home now, and perhaps take that image home with you. Things that are inextinguishable. I could have a birthday candle. You know those little birthday candles you blow out and they keep lighting up again? And because we had the family service on Christmas Day, and that's when I shared this part of the message to them, I couldn't find any, but you should have seen me. I went through my little candle box and I lit all these different candles, blowing them out to see if they'd come back on again. But they all went out when I blew them. So instead of that illustration, I gave them a candle and said, how easy is it to blow that out? And you can't blow Jesus out. He's never going to change and he will always love you. So we've got a story in front of us this morning where Joseph is under a lot of pressure. He's in love with a lady, he's betrothed to this lady. And I wonder, as he looked back years afterwards, how he reflected on these events that we've read about this morning. I wonder if he was thinking of all of the bad things. You know, I mean, look at what they did. They had to deal with a pregnancy out of wedlock. And he was being nice. He was being a nice man. He was going to divorce her quietly. He wasn't going to put her out to public disgrace. He was going to do it all quiet and be nice. But God had different ideas. And then they end up traveling all the way to Bethlehem. And where did she give birth? Where did she give birth? In a stable. And do you know what? We always say that. And I looked through the Bible. Do you know a stable's not mentioned anywhere? We don't know. And yet there is a picture. Thank you for answering it. I don't want you to feel guilty. But we always put that in the picture, all those lovely Christmas cards. Born in a stable. Doesn't say that. All it says in the gospel was they put Jesus in a manger because there was no room in the inn. That's all it says. But where was this manger? It was probably in a stable, I'm being mean. But we just don't know. And so often we latch on to things that are perhaps not even there. All we know is that she gave birth to Jesus and put him in a manger. Well, a manger's a feeding trough. Feeding trough, stable, animals. It kind of conjures up. But where does that picture come from? Not God's word. And how often do we conjure things up in our lives rather than going back to God's word and his promises? So often get distracted by our own opinions and our own thoughts. And I've been encouraged to get back to basics, to know that he's inextinguishable. He loves us so much. We can be overwhelmed by his love in any situation. They not only have to give birth in this whatever situation it was, we don't actually know, but Jesus is born. And however settled or cozy they are, they have all these visits. And then it's off you go to Egypt now. Well, we've got a newborn. Well, have you? I still recall when I had a friend when I lived down in Oxfordshire, and she'd given birth, and we were going to have her first outing. We went down to Bournemouth from Oxford for the day, and she filled my boot with stuff for this newborn. I mean, we had nappies, and I don't know, she had bags of this and bags of that. Mothers amongst us will probably know what that's like. And we got there and we had a lovely day on the beach and came back. But when she had her second child, she went with a rucksack. She got herself organized. She knew just what she needed. But circumstances and things changed. These people had to travel from Bethlehem to Egypt because an angel told them to. I mean, all these questions you'd be asking yourself. I'd be wanting to say, well, what, when, how, why, where? All these questions. And yet it says here, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, get up, and he went. So he had that connection, that assurance that it was God speaking to him. These truths and promises in his word are for us to grab hold of and to take action upon. And it didn't end there, did it? Because then he had to traipse all the way back to Nazareth with a newborn, with a little toddler. The life of Joseph, which all these little dead ends and all these places, well, how do we get through this? What I wanted you to take away from this is not just the word inextinguishable, but my actual object for you. So I'm going to be carrying this with me all year, so you've got that one on top. But your message really this morning involved this object. What is it? It's a magnifying glass, yeah. I kind of need it these days, even with my glasses. You know, that little tiny print. Why do they make prints so small on things these days? Because it's got a little close-up bit here as well, and I'm fine myself. But it's not just the light, it's the magnification, isn't it? It's light and magnification that helps you to see. This is really, I'm determined to do some cross-stitch this year. I didn't do any last year. And this is what helps me to see the little X's. But magnification, that's the other thing. So as well as the light, I want to encourage you to think about what you magnify this year. What you make bigger. That is what magnification is all about, isn't it? Things that we make bigger. Oh, it's cold outside. But actually, we've got warm woolly coats and hats and boots. And there are people that are living out there. There's lots of different perspectives and different lands that we come from. What do you magnify? There's a lovely verse in the Psalms, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. And that's what I sought to do in our praise this morning, to get God in his rightful place and to help him to magnify us in a different light, to look at our circumstances in a different light. And that is the lesson I take away from Joseph this year, how he magnified his situation. He heard God's word through the angel, through the Lord, and he got on with it. He took action. He understood what he'd got to do. He'd got to get up and go to Egypt. He'd got to get up and take Mary to be his wife. He'd got to get up and go to Nazareth. All these potentially, you could magnify all sorts of problems out of all of that. But his biggest image was God. Magnify the Lord. Whatever you magnify is the thing that gets our attention. It makes something, what does a magnifying glass do? It makes it bigger. Thank you for saying that, but you're great in answering my questions this morning, but I'm going to disagree with you again. Because it doesn't make it bigger at all. It makes your view of it bigger. The actual object doesn't change at all. Just what you see changes. If I put that in it, the print will get bigger, but it's still the same size. But the way you look at it and the way you perceive it. And so I want to encourage you to magnify God, to know that God's light and God's love is inextinguishable and his faithfulness is beyond measure. Be careful what you magnify, because its size won't change, but your perception of it will. To try and help you to contemplate this and think it through as you go into the new year, my father built something in the garden, and I could call it a stable, but it's not. I could call it a shed, but it's not. What word did they always used to call for these little bits in the garden? I'm wondering if anyone here knows. It could be a shed, another word for a shed, not a stable. Huh? Not an outhouse, but nice thought. Huh? Sorry? A cave? No, he didn't build a cave. Sorry? A lean-to? Yeah, a lean-to. This isn't a lean-to, actually, this is out in the garden, this one. Summer house, that's another one, but no, it's not a summer house. Sorry? Hut. Thought someone would get it. Thank you, young lady. A hut. That's not a word you hear these days, is it? My father always used to call this thing the hut. The wooden lean-to down the garden. All these words that you've come up with could be applied to the hut. And it was always dad's in the hut. You don't hear those words these days, do you? It's an oldie word, really. But it came to me as I was preparing this for you. We often say, but. I want you to say, but, whenever there's a but, take the word hut, to magnify God. And what does my hut stand for? Hear God. Hear his word. Ponder it. Understand it. So we hear his word and we understand his will. And so often, that's where I stop. I hear his word. I read his word. I preach his word. I can understand his will sometimes. You know those little voices in your head that says, can you ring? Will you visit? Could you help? And what do? Take action. That's your T. Take action. Because what Joseph did was he got up and he put into action what God told him to do. Trust me. I care for you. Take that promise, magnify it, and put it into action. Coming back to my reading from earlier, which was in Lamentations chapter 3. Yet this I call to mind. That writer magnified all of the problems. And he could have stayed there in a very dark place, but he didn't. He recalled to mind what God could do. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The scriptures doesn't tell us where Jesus was born. He could have been born in a hut. But Joseph dealt with all these dead ends by putting into practice what he heard and what he understood God's will to be. God calls us to walk by faith. I'm sure Joseph had his doubts. I'm sure he would have been bewildered. He would have had things that he found hard to process. There would have been confusion. What? Take this woman? How do I know she didn't really go with him? All he had was the angel's word for it. He was the only one in the whole of the Christmas story. She knew, but he didn't. He just had to take these things on trust. What's in her is from me, says God. What's in her is from me. And Joseph took him at his word and acted upon it. To say we don't doubt would not be true. We all have our doubts. We can all say, well, God, are you really there? Did you really die for me? Did you really send your son? Will you really help me? Is there really a heaven? Am I really going there? Take God's word at face value and accept it, understand his will, but take action upon it. Because it's not that we do go through valleys, but don't sit down there and die. We've got an inextinguishable light for all of the dark spots. And that word, the word, psalmist writes, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And as we move forwards into this new year, recall the good things. Recall the highs. Don't sit there, oh no, you never believe what I had to deal with last week. Because God is there. Magnify him, and I trust and pray that whatever dead ends you come up against in 2024, you will recall that the light of Christ is inextinguishable, and he is calling you to shine your lights where he has called you. So don't just hear his word, but do hear his word. Don't just understand his will, but do understand his will. Be like the wise man who built his house on a rock, and take action and put the words of God into practice, that as you receive his light, you will be lights as we travel forwards. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your living word. We ask that you'd forgive us for so often we act first and think later. So often we hear your word, we appreciate your love and your promises, and we come into your presence and it's wonderful to sense you are there. We go out the door and we wander along and we moan and we groan and we drift away. And we magnify things that don't need to be magnified because you are greater. You are beyond all our imaginings. So, Father, whatever that means to each individual here today, we all have things to face day by day, things that we know are coming and things that we don't. But through it all, I pray that you'd help us to reflect and recall that your love is inextinguishable, that your light and your faithfulness are beyond measure. And as we magnify this truth and magnify your love for us in our lives, may we be more aware of your power and your strength to take action and to put into practice what we know is right and good in accordance with your will. We ask this for our blessing and for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've chosen quite an old song for us to close with. I hope you know it. But it has the verse in it, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." But it starts by saying, through all the changing scenes of life, through trouble and in joy. And let's rejoice in these lovely words together. Thank you. Lord Jesus, light of the world, overcomer of darkness, of fear, doubt, worry, anxiety. As we celebrated your birth just a few days ago, may we begin to see the world as you see it. May we emerge from the shadows with new hope and joy, knowing that your light can never be extinguished. As you chose the poor and lonely, the outcast and marginalized to receive the good news that first Christmas time, so may we worship you with the angels and the shepherds in the weakness of our hearts today and every day. May we know the peace of this child born the babe of Bethlehem, who lived amongst men declaring your glory, paying the penalty for our sins as the Christ of Calvary, offering perfect peace, offering strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We praise you, we worship you, and we thank you as we commit this new year to you in Jesus' name. Amen.